We're all in uncharted territory looking for ways to support our communities. At Dell Technologies, we're making sure small businesses have the right tech solutions. Dell Technologies advisors are here for you, from helping small businesses stay connected and productive while working remotely with Windows 10 and Microsoft Teams, to rapidly deploying remote work solutions that limit upfront costs with Dell Financial Services. We're standing by you every step of the way. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Hope your Monday's off to a good start. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. A lot to unpack on a weekend where there was just so much happening across the country, and we just hope everybody, for a variety of reasons now, is safe and home and healthy and doing whatever they need to do to keep themselves out of harm's way in a million different ways.
But, you know, we're going to talk about it because it's something you can't turn an eye to. It has to be talked about. And there is an intersection with sports that we'll get to. But regardless of that, man, this is life that we can all have a say in, whether it's, you know, with feet on the ground in Minneapolis or wherever, or at the voting booths later on, you know, this year. So it all has to be talked about, but certainly it does intersect with sports, and there are also sports that went on and that have gone on that we have been showing as in documentaries.
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very interesting going back in this weekend, looking at the last part of the Lance Armstrong documentary this weekend, and this one's interesting because we talked about it so much with the Jordan documentary that I was around for, but I was so young. Seeing all of this flood back in the Lance Armstrong documentary, especially last night, about Livestrong and about what Lance's battle for cancer did not only for his status, his celebrity status, and making him an American hero in ways that he wouldn't have been otherwise if he was just winning Tour de France, but also then how he used that as a shield to cover everything, but ultimately the legacy that the Livestrong Foundation left behind, which is one of an unbelievable amount of good.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to get into. We'll get to that in a second. Again, just a few moments, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll hear from our colleague Myron Metcalf, who had some very poignant things to say yesterday about the reaction to the death, the killing of George Floyd by that Minneapolis police officer. We'll get to that in a minute. And don't forget, also, Stephen A. Smith is going to host First Take Your Take, a town hall radio special from 1 to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. So you want to tune in for that. A very special day for things that need to be said and need to be discussed. And we will have those discussions throughout the morning and how they pertain to sports and how sports, as you said it to it, Mike, have athletes have decided to stand up and be heard and be counted, and counting on other people to stand up and be counted on in this situation. But we did have the second part of the Lance Armstrong documentary last night. And for those that maybe didn't see the first part, the second part was the reckoning, for lack of a better term. Everything in the first part of the documentary built up to Lance being that guy that won 7 straight Tour de France's, with the underlying mechanism of the doping that was going on and all of that. And the second episode last night was where the reckoning came.
Yes.
Where he was basically, you know, he got caught and how he got caught, which was, I find, really interesting, because we had Tyler Hamilton on the show last week who rode with him. And basically, Tyler helped Lance win his first 3 Tour de France's, then went out on his own thinking he could win the Tour de France. And as soon as he went out and went to a different team, Lance contacted the authorities and said, "You need to check that guy because that guy is doping." Well, that's sort of what happened to Lance. When Floyd Landis, who won his Tour de France after Lance's 7 straight, he won his, and then he got caught for doping, and then he sent an email basically saying, "Hey man, we were all doing it,"
right,
and Lance was doing it as well. So basically, Floyd did to Lance what Lance did to Tyler Hamilton, and this is Lance Armstrong talking about Floyd Landis specifically.
"Could be worse. I could be Floyd Landis, waking up a piece of every day."
"Is that what you think?"
"Yeah, that's what I know. I don't think it. I know it."
Okay. That's what I know.
That might have been my favorite portion of the documentary.
That was unreal. Listen, this all went on right when I basically you know, Greeny and I started Mike and Mike. I mean, this 99-2000, right when we started.
Yeah.
And I mean, so we covered it all, talked about it all the way till 2012 when it got stripped away to the Oprah interview. Yeah. And I mean, this dude, and in the beginning, all of us like, look what this guy overcame. You know, he fooled everybody. Yeah. He, as Floyd Landis said about, Lance Armstrong, he lied better than he told the truth. And he even talked about that. Lance Armstrong talked about basically it was how easy it was to lie.
What was it like looking at yourself in the mirror?
No problem.
Because
I'm not justifying it or defending it, but I'm telling you it was not a problem.
Because
it was just part of the I was so used to it, and it was part of the game, and you just kind of become immune to that. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy to hear myself say that, but that's the truth.
He was so defiant.
Right.
And you wanted to believe him because he beat cancer. My God, this was the greatest sports life story. You beat cancer. You win 7 straight Tour de France's. You start Livestrong. You're helping save people's lives. I mean, my God, could it get any better? No, but it could get a hell of a lot worse.
Well, it was just so interesting because Lance made the distinction that everything he did with Livestrong was legitimate. That wasn't because he said people accused it of being a cover, basically, an organization designed to steer people away from that. But he openly said, I used the cancer as a shield, though.
Yes.
And the audio of all these interviews where Lance is defiantly up there saying, I went through all of that to beat cancer, and now I'm going to pump my body full of all these illegal substances just so I can come back out here and ride. Get out of here. That's crazy. Over and over and over again. And like, that's the like almost diabolical portion of this. Is that's the thing that you're going to use, this part that no one can come back against if they're having a public conversation with you, to ensure that you are trying to go out there and wash your public reputation.
Well, what do we always say, right? If you're going to go all in, go all in.
Oh, man, he did.
Nobody went more all in. No. I mean, remember the commercial when it's just him riding the bike and people are like, what am I on? I'm on my bike, man. You know, that was the line of the commercial. Yeah, you're also on almost everything else.
And the thing about it, we always look for contrition, and he was. He said what he did was wrong, but he still treated so many people horribly, and even to this day, that he still wants nothing to do with people. I mean, so it turned out what a horrible thing he did, a horrible person he was in acting the way he did, and for a lot of people, that hasn't changed with how he acts now.
So what Lance Armstrong's legacy is a loaded question, brought to you by Barbasol Shaving Cream. Barbasol Shaving Cream comes with a thick and rich and doesn't break down. That's why Barbasol is America's number one shaving cream, better by Barbasol. The part that was, it's always hard to balance with him is, the most powerful portion of this entire thing to me was when they were talking with a woman about her own battle with cancer.
Yeah, right.
And about how if it weren't, and she said, the lives of people diagnosed with cancer today are irrefutably better because of the work that the Livestrong Foundation
Correct.
Has done. She said, personally for her, she's like, from doctors, from the medical community, I would have never known about the fertility issues that surround cancer treatment that she ended up dealing with, being able to work through, and now had 4 children because of, and now was able to start a foundation that helped others, that includes work being done by Livestrong on that effort. She goes, all of these things I never would have known about had I not looked down and seen, you know, Lance talking about this, what his own family had gone through with this, freezing his own sperm so that but if these things became an issue, still have a family down the road. And that's just one instance. But just hearing that line, people diagnosed with cancer today, and it was one woman's opinion, but I mean, we've seen what that foundation meant for
helped,
so long.
There's no doubt it helped.
The lives of people diagnosed with cancer today are irrefutably better because of this foundation.
Right. Yes.
That's the complicated part of this, because it's so easy to see what Lance did. And look, everybody in cycling, 90%+, let's put it that way, was on some sort of sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Than the Tour de France. So let's be clear about that. But that's not the part that burned Lance. The part that burned Lance was the scorched earth policy to keep the lie going.
That's exactly right.
That's what burned
well,
Lance.
Well, that's what, yeah.
But that doesn't take away everything, in my opinion anyway, from the good that was caused by Livestrong. Yeah, that's why it's messy. It is messy.
Yeah. Completely agree with you there. And again, he had the chance. He had the Scottie Pippen chance, right? Because Scottie Pippen begs off with 1.8 seconds to go, takes himself out of the game, gets interviewed for the Last Dance documentary now and says, I do the same thing again. We're like, what?
Yeah.
Lance Armstrong said he had three options. One was kind of partial admittance, which he said, how can you do that?
Right.
One was full admittance. Yes, I did this. We all did this. Or one was lie to you die.
Yeah.
And he said, that's the road route I chose, and I would do it again.
Yeah.
He was put in that situation. He said, I would do the exact same thing all over again. Take that for however you want.
That's part of what makes him a fascinating character on so many levels. So again, part one and two of the Lance documentary, that it is over. We got a couple more documentaries coming up, by the way, that are going to be very, very cool.
We'll sure do.
A little bit later. But coming up next, if you're wondering how you can help in a time where our country needs it, stick around to our next guest because you're going to want to hear what he has to say. And you need to listen. We all do. We'll get to that after this.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
GEICO. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Vulcan Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2 on a Monday morning, Sirius XM Channel 80. Also on your smart speakers, we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golick Jr., Trey Wingo here. All of us trying to sort of unpack everything that happened over the weekend and the reaction to the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And the outburst of emotion that followed that. And we've heard from a lot of important voices over the weekend, and the three of us want to hear from more important voices and hear what they have to say. And we played sound earlier today from Myron Metcalf, who does a great job for us, and the things that he sort of had to deal with and how he was processing what went on in the killing of George Floyd and how he related it to radio, where basically imagine if you were silent for 9 seconds on the air.
9 minutes.
Yeah, well, he said, just 9 seconds.
9 seconds, I'm sorry.
I mean, how crazy that would
be.
And then to see that video that went on for 9 minutes, and when you put it in that perspective, it does hit you in the face, and there's no way of avoiding it, just how grossly absurd that is. So we're delighted to have Myron with us this morning. Myron, first of all, thanks for being with us. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your perspective. How are you today?
It's been an emotional week. I mean, I'm good, but, you know, when you live here in Minneapolis area, it's sort of a nonstop stream of information and, you know, people just kind of reaching out and everyone trying to figure out how they move forward after what happened to George Floyd.
So I guess that is the question. I mean, because it has gotten kind of really muddied, Myron, with the other faction seemingly to coming in and trying to take advantage of this situation and cause damage to It's making it very frustrating and confusing, I'm sure, for especially people, you know, on the ground there. So where does it go from here?
Well, I think, you know, it happened a week ago, and already George Floyd is no longer the headline. And I think that's unfortunate. So we've got to get back to what happened and dealing with that day and the anger that came from that day. A number of events have happened since then. There's not been a lot of peaceful protests, but there've been some violence as well, some looting and fires. And I mean, there is a lot of fire and smoke and places that burn to the ground. It's a bad scene in Minneapolis and we have to rebuild. But we can't forget what happened a week ago to George Floyd. And that to me has to be the headline. We can't put this up like Christmas lights and take it down because we decided to move on to something else. We've got to focus on what happened to George Floyd, why, and we've got to dissect that so it doesn't continue to happen.
Talking to Myron Metcalf with us here on Golic and Wingo. Myron, what have you made of maybe the general response from the world of sports and all this? Obviously, it's had many forms, but in general, as you've seen that portion of our lives intersect with this, what does it look like to you?
Well, you know, I'm glad a lot of people have stepped up and, you know, made their statements, and they have certainly said that this is something they don't want to see happen again. And I respect all of that. But I also think this is the easy part. This is the convenient time to talk about this right now is the news of the day. You know, if you talk about George Floyd, you're doing what's trending. Talk about it a month from now, 6 months from now. That to me is the real test, because we address these issues in the moment and then we move on. And I don't think that's a solution for lasting change. So I'm happy people are reaching out. I'm happy people are standing up. But this has to be something that goes beyond a couple of days and a couple of tweets.
Yeah, no question. Myron Metcalf with us this morning. And you spoke to Lavelle Moten, the North Carolina Central men's basketball coach. And basically, we played that sound this morning as well. He said, I'm upset by the silence from so many other Power Five coaches. What did you make of his message? And what do we need to hear from those people in power in this time?
Well, I think, you know, Lavelle was specifically talking about some of the white Power Five coaches, and just that this always falls on black coaches. You know, we always look to the black coaches to say, okay, what do you think? We know what they think because they live this. But I think if there are allies in the coaching world at these Power Five schools, now's the time to stand up. And again, I respect some of the statements that we've seen, but what's the action from here? This is the easy time, but will you make this a critical component of how you coach? Your messaging, that becomes the real test. And I think a lot of black coaches I know feel like the entire burden falls on them, you know, and there aren't that many of them. But when moments like this happen, people go, well, what does James Franklin think? What does Lavelle Moten think? No, what does Coach K think? What does Bill Self think? What does Nick Saban think? I think those have to be the questions as well, not just the black coaches in moments like this. And I think that's what Lavelle was saying.
How about kind of anybody? You know, I said at the beginning of this show, Myron, we're three white, you know, yeah, sports broadcasting, you know, hosts out here who don't have answers, but also want to discuss this and be part of it. But I can't give an answer. We can listen as best we can, but what do we do? You know, what do we do to help, if we can help at all in a situation like this?
I said this on the show yesterday. You know, African Americans, especially in moments like this, we don't have an option to have uncomfortable conversations. This is our lives, right? This is our experience. And I guess I would challenge more white people in this country to have those uncomfortable conversations, to talk to those people who might not share your views, talk to those people who, you know, might have perspectives that you don't agree with. You've got to be able to break the ice in those situations, because if you don't, and you're only having conversations with African Americans, especially in a moment like this, I really think that's the easy way out. I think it's important to listen and to educate yourself, but then you got to take that home. You know, I think real change happens at the dinner table. It happens at the barbershop. It happens at your place of worship. It doesn't just happen in tweets and conversations like this. You got to go beyond that and bring it home.
Myron, I'm curious, through any of the conversations that you've had in all of this, has there been anyone whose reaction or response has truly surprised you in this?
Well, I mean, I would say locally, what we're not seeing is just a number of people who have dropped off groceries and they're cleaning up. And there's been a nonstop effort to try to help this city rebuild. But I do have a buddy who I think symbolizes what's happening here. He certainly understands the anger as a minority in this country. But his wife is also a business owner, and she had to board up her business this weekend to protect it. His mom is in a senior home locally, and they weren't sending any staffers this weekend because of the rioting and the fears of that. So I think there are a lot of people like that in this city who understand the anger, support the peaceful protests, but they're also trying to deal with this other element that's difficult to really process. So it's a big undertaking for everybody involved, and there aren't any simple solutions.
No, there's not. And as we're talking with Myron Metcalf, and again, this is the thing that I think is so frustrating to so many people, is this is not a one-off in any way, shape, or form. This is the latest and perhaps arguably the most blatant. But it's like, when I'm not going to lie to you, Myron, I'm really struggling to be able to sort of voice things – because I don't feel like I have the wherewithal or the experience to deal with the things the way that you have dealt with them in terms of, I feel like my job now is just to shut the hell up and listen to what everyone else is saying. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, it does. And I think that's unfortunate in that what this has really done, one of the things I've noticed, just my own friendships and relationships, it's made it awkward, you know, to talk to your white friends. And I'm sure it's made it awkward for, you know, you all to talk to people like me. And I think that can't be the case. Like, we can't allow situations like this to make us all freeze up and go, this is sort of an awkward situation. We don't know what to do. No, we have to have these conversations and really lead those conversations. And I don't have all the answers. And I think everybody who wants a simple solution, you're never going to find it. But we have to keep talking, and then that has to turn to action, and it has to be lasting action. Today's easy. You know, a week from what happened, that's the easy part. But 3 months from now, we have a tendency to move on to the next kickoff or the next tip-off, and I think that's why, you know, these things happen in cycles. It's not a constant part of the conversation.
So what's the best way? You know, we could see the immediate effect, Myron, that the officer, ex-officer, whatever you want to call that person, gets arrested later than we all think he should have been, and three others should be arrested. And so I get that being a disappointing part of why aren't those others, you know, arrested yet. So we have the immediacy of that, and hopefully there's prosecution, and hopefully, you know, what should happen to them happens to them from the side of being locked up if they are found guilty of this, and God knows why they wouldn't. But that's now. What going forward, what in your mind that you said that keeps this going can really invoke actual change? What needs to be done?
I think in sports, we are in the best position to have some of these difficult conversations because you have so many high-profile athletes and coaches who are minorities. And I think we can have these conversations continuously. Like, it doesn't have to take a situation like what happened a week ago. But I think that's big change, right? Little change is the thing that people need to focus on. It's about valuing people. At the end of the day, when people watch that video, that is us as African-Americans watching you devalue this officer, that man's life. And that's what we've experienced as African-Americans forever. The idea that we're not worth as much as white people in this country. So it has to start with valuing people around you, not based on what they have or their income or education, but just based on the fact they're human. And that sounds like some kumbaya stuff, but that's the reality of where we're at in a society, I think.
Sadly, it certainly is. And hopefully this can be some that tipping point where we do move forward and we start to have those meaningful conversations that will continue and not just be something, as you said, that we talk about in the now, but in the future going forward. Myron, we appreciate you. We appreciate your time this morning. We hope you and yours are safe and well. And we wish nothing but the best for the city of Minneapolis going forward.
Thank you.
Thanks, Myron. Yeah. You know, it's tough because to us, we say, yeah, it could be a tipping point, but how many tipping points do you need? Yeah. You know, it's been one tipping point after another.
We've been down this road before. Yeah.
Well, you know, and we've been down this road for the frustration from black people and from them having to deal with this over and over. And I think Myron's tipping of hope and what Myron brought up and what I think I've heard from a lot of people is let this be the tipping point for everybody else, because until right. these problems matter to all of us right. as much right. as they matter yeah. to Myron Metcalf, we've seen it's hard for things to get done.
Yeah, much more on this as we'll continue throughout the morning.
Right now, I'm happy to see all of the players speak up, particularly the white ones. But I do think that this is an easy time to speak up. While I applaud them, we need them to speak up when it's not easy.
It can't just be us minorities or African Americans. It has to be all people. And the white athletes who are now stepping up need to continue to step up.
The Carson Wentz of the world, the Steve Kerrs of the world, the Stan Van Gundys of the world, the Tom Bradys of the world, and others. They understand to some degree where all of this is coming from because they share the same locker room.
Golden Wingo with you, ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. Mike Golick Jr., Trey Wingo here with you as we continue to sort of unpack from what was just a monumental weekend. That's the only way to describe it. Everything that went on across the country and the reactions to the killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And we want to get as many different perspectives as we can. So, listen, we always have fun when we bring her on, and we're delighted to be talking to her today, even though it might not be as much fun as it always is. Chinne Igwumike, our fine NBA analyst and one of the best players in the world in basketball. Chinne, how are you? We appreciate your time this morning. How you doing?
I'm good. I miss you guys, but I'm doing well. I'm here with my family in Houston, Texas, just, you know, staying safe. But I know it's a somber past week, a few months for everyone, so we're all managing.
Chiney, I guess you mentioned there you're managing. This is certainly not something that is, unfortunately, a new problem to the Black community and what people have gone through with this. Is there anything that, especially with the reaction that you've seen in the last few days over the weekend, what's felt so different about it this time around?
Well, the thing is, I would just say so many people are just tired because this is something that continues to happen. And, you know, a lot of people are challenging their peers, which I think is great. No matter what race you are, we are holding everyone accountable for the society that we want to live in. And I guess the reason why a lot of people are being challenged, why athletes, as it pertains to, I guess, more specifically, my friends in the NBA, the WNBA or NFL, why athletes, you don't really have to challenge them. There's so many different things that I've seen, you know, Jaylen Brown, even Karl Anthony Towns. The reason why you see athletes, I think, not having to be challenged, athletes leading the charge when it comes to social change, I think it's at the root of it all, it's in our DNA. We're team players, we're wired to care for the last player on the bench as much as we care about ourselves. You guys know that. We've been athletes almost our entire lives. This is why you see over the weekend, Jaylen Brown, I think, driving 15 hours to lead a peaceful protest in his hometown. This is why a lot of people forget Maya Moore has chosen to forego WNBA seasons in her prime in order to fight for the wrongfully convicted. This is why you see, you know, Karl Anthony Towns, the star of the Timberwolves, Minnesota, Minneapolis, the city that is at the heart of the struggle. He's still showing strength after his mom. He lost his mom due to the pandemic. These athletes have so inspired, I think, not just, you know, us, but the entire world, because I think, you know, the more I think about this and the more I'm proud to be a part of this sports community, we operate in a merit-based world, right? Like when we play, we're judged by our performance, right? Not what we look like, not our pigmentation. So I guess when we leave the arena, these things are not always the same, but we still are wired to care about everyone. That's just what we do when we go to the gym, when we're trying to, you know, play and win and fight for a championship. You can't turn that on or off. So I think it's been really inspiring to see all these athletes be at the forefront without being challenged. Just, you know, as we always say, we are always in the position of wanting to take one for the team. And I think there have been so many people, we put athletes, on one hand, we put athletes on a pedestal. But at the same time, the last few months, we've been able to see who the real heroes are, like the essential workers, and then also the people that are really trying to lend a voice and let people understand and educate why we still struggle in society. And it's not only educating, like letting it resonate people. But, you know, this is why I love you guys, because all we ask is for an ear, for people to listen, to sort of step into someone else's shoes. So like the events of the last week have been extremely disheartening. I have had so much trouble sleeping and just trying to understand why this is going on and why it's still going on. But at the same time, I'm proud of my friends like you guys. I'm proud of my peers, my athlete friends, for doing what they've always done and lending their voice to something that really matters. I guess that's where I'm at.
Yeah, it's time for this talk with Chiney's Straight Talk in every way, shape, and form, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And look, we are happy to listen, but the question then becomes is what do we do going forward? How do we find a way to turn such a horrible thing into something that can be a positive outcome in the future?
Honestly, we don't have the answer. We really don't have the answer. I think the hardest part about it all is you see a community struggling. You see a community bearing the responsibility. Is it our job to bear the responsibility? No. So there's no true answer. I think it's, you know, everything comes back to like sports to me, just because that's what I know. You go out there, you play, you may fail, but you learn from that failure. So I would just say no one should be in a position of judging someone else. If you are, then you are part of the problem. And I think it's just recognizing what our own implicit biases are and choosing not to do that again. And a lot of people think, well, what can I do? And the littlest you can do is just shifting your mindset. Because I think people think, oh, is it money? Do I have to go? Do I have to move? It's evaluating your heart. Because once you do that, things hit you different. And you won't be making the same choices. You'll be more aware. And that's more beneficial for us in the long term. So there's no real answer besides having compassion for the next man or woman next to you. No, I don't have the answers. It just is fail, fail again, fail better. That's, I think, the cycle that we're in right now. And that's the cycle we've been in as athletes when we play and compete. That's just where we're at.
And we all say, you know, it needs to change today, but we're not, you know, it's not that one thing that's going to change that all of a sudden is going to make it everything better. And unfortunately for the minority community, this isn't the first, you hope it's the last, but probably not the last situation where you get a reaction like this. So I guess I would ask, because you've heard a lot of this before, is there something you heard over these last few days in any of these protests by action or by somebody saying something that struck you a little different this time that you really said, wow, okay, that was important to hear or see?
I don't think it was anything that I heard. I think everyone that has chosen to speak has been, speak positively, has been a positive contributor to changing the dialogue. We are in unprecedented times. A lot of things don't make sense, whether it is a global pandemic or the continual persecution of people of color. Those things don't make sense. Those things are near impossible if you are a human being to wrap your head around. So I would just say that when you're trying to, I guess the most impactful thing I've realized is when it came to global pandemic, we had the necessary measures to protect each other. The persecution of people of color is probably history's maybe one of the longest pandemics. And we need protective measures for that problem as well. Obviously, you know, what we just dealt with as on the global stage was huge. But this is something that does create the loss of life. So I think people realizing that we are capable as society to help one another, we're also in a position where people are suffering, loss of jobs, just dealing with more, even like putting their lives on the line, similarly in hospitals, taking care of one another. Like, we are really honoring the true essence of humanity now. We've shown that we are capable. I guess what I've seen has been different. I think it's just that awakening, knowing that we are capable of being better collectively, and hopefully that will carry over to situations like this so this can be stopped.
And all of that from Chinne is absolutely straight talk wireless, no contract, no compromise. Chinne, as always, it's good to hear your voice, and we appreciate you, and we're listening, and we just hope that you and yours are safe and well.
Thank you so much. I miss you guys. I love you guys, and hopefully I will see you guys again soon, obviously, with 6 feet in between us.
Absolutely. Thanks, Chinne.
There's room in the basement here.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Plenty of social distancing to go around for sure.
Just great to hear her voice. Absolutely. Look forward to seeing her when we can.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name? Check. Birthday? Social security. Is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring 3 advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Go Hook and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Let's get you caught up on a little bit of what is trending. The NBA Board of Governors are expected to okay Adam Silver's restart plan on Thursday. The NBA has been examining several plans for return to play, but numerous members of the Board of Governors tell ESPN there's growing support for a plan to bring 22 teams to Disney's ESPN Wide World, the sports complex, in July. The NBA needs a 3/4 majority of owners to approve a return to play plan, and an overwhelming majority of the owners have expressed a desire to do precisely that on both on a Board of Governors call on Friday and later in interviews with ESPN. So great signs pointing all full steam ahead for the NBA. Meanwhile, Brad Keselowski picked up his second win of the season after a late wreck at Bristol Motor Speedway on Sunday. Keselowski was in third with a lap and a turn remaining when he lucked into his second victory in three cup races. Joey Logano had cleared Chase Elliott for the lead with three laps remaining, but Elliott was stalking him while seeking his second win in 3 days. They made contact on the fourth turn and drifted into the wall. Keselowski slid past. It's the second straight Sunday that an error by Elliott led to a Keselowski win. Last week, Elliott pitted late during a caution and Keselowski stole a win in the Coca-Cola 600. Brett Keselowski will join us at 8:10 Eastern to talk about his victory. And the UFC's Dana White says that John Jones tarnished his own name. An ongoing war of words between the UFC president and the light heavyweight champion continued on Saturday, with White stating that Jones has done, quote, a very good job of tarnishing his own name without any help from the company that he fights for. John Jones responded with a tweet early Sunday morning saying, quote, you're talking all that big guy stuff about not caring. Put your money where your mouth is and release me from that contract. What's Trending is brought to you by Redbox. Redbox has the top entertainment when you need it most. Watch Margot Robbie take us into the twisted mind of Harley Quinn. Don't miss Birds of Prey. Visit Redbox.com for all the ways to watch.
One thing I can say with great certainty, there is 0% chance that Dana White's going to let John Jones out of that contract.
And John Jones did kind of tarnish his own name. Dude has had some rough
He's
times.
Had some issues.
Oh, my God.
We'll get into that a little bit later.
Yeah.
We got other stuff we got to unpack here. But it is interesting, right? We have two different sports going about this same sort of problem, albeit on a different timetable, two completely different ways, right? We heard from Jeff Passan, and we'll play that sound for you a little bit later, about the problems with Major League Baseball and how they still can't find a way to get on the same page and figure this thing out. Meanwhile, it seems like the NBA is smoothing right along, and it looks like really soon they're going to be joining the NHL with a complete plan for a return to play.
Yeah, what a different world where the Board of Governors is saying, yeah, we're essentially good with whatever you guys bring to the table. We understand and trust the leadership enough. And we heard from when we were talking to Brian Windhorst last week that it's essentially been Adam Silver and Chris Paul almost really hashing this out on behalf of all these other parties themselves. So the trust in those two and in the leadership in this situation, man, a far cry from what baseball is dealing with.
And the interesting thing there is there are going to have to be conversations going forward in the NBA very similar to what Major League Baseball is going to have to be dealing with after this season's over, albeit in a different context, because the CBA is going to be up for Major League Baseball, and that's sort of the backdrop for everything about all of that. But the NBA is going to have some real conversations about lost revenue going forward to the 2020-2021 season that doesn't seem to be in any way, shape, or form hesitating them from finding a plan back this time around.
You wonder if it'll be a little uglier when it gets towards that. Like, next season has been something that every sports league has to factor into things, but the NBA looked at this and said, I'm sure, again, the amount of season they had left certainly helps and all that, but understanding, and this has kind of been the general NBA MO for a while, we are making, in general, so much money, and the league has been such a success for a while now. Why are we going to break up that party that's been so beneficial for everyone involved? Team valuations are through the roof. Players are making a ton of money. Why would anyone want to mess this up right now?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, too, and again, it looks like you get, what, that 20 to 22 team playoff or round robin or play-in.
Yep, essentially trying to find teams, it sounds like, within a range of being able to make the playoffs.
Yeah, from the latest proposal with Woj and Ramona Shelburne, basically, the Pelicans, the Phoenix Suns, the Blazers, the Kings, and the Spurs would land in Orlando outside the playoff teams, basically, for lack of a better term, with the Washington Wizards joining as the only team within 6 games of the number 8 seed in the East. So you would have those teams plus the teams that would be seeded 1 through 16 anyway. And then I guess it's just how do you route it going forward from there?
Yeah, and that's what I'm sure they're going to detail in the plan that they're going to release here. But it sounds like for the most part, everyone who's voiced something on this has kind of had that same complaint. Well, we would like to come back back and have a shot at this, but we don't want to come back and play meaningless games. Yeah. And so
and
it seems
that.
Like the people that are going to come back now, you're going to play games that are going to give you an opportunity to win this. And then like Damian Lillard said, once you get in the dance, especially the way this year has been structured with such a massive layoff in between, it really could be one where you could see someone sneak up and do something wild.
And nice job of giving Zion a chance to be in the playoffs.
I am shocked. I mean, did you see that coming? I did not see that coming.
So real quick, there's been a conversation. If they go right to this and go and do like regular season awards without any more of this, Ja Morant or Zion Williamson as the rookie of the year?
I think it's got to be Ja Morant.
See, and I was someone who was pushing strongly for Zion down the stretch, but this ended up being like the LeBron MVP conversation right. that we had, is it was so primed, especially like the Pelicans. If your team was going to make a late playoff push and Zion was a big reason why coming back from injury, then it would have been easy for me to say, I get that Ja played the whole season, but look at what this guy did in such a short amount of time. Sort of like when Tom Brady came off suspension and still balled out, and I was like, "Wait, he should still be in the MVP conversation regardless of missed time because you played at that level. They're going to give it to Ja.
Yeah, I think Ja should get it too. I think if you're not judging any more for a vote, if it's done, I wouldn't give it to Ja.
For it to go the other way for either LeBron for the MVP or Zion for Rookie of the Year, you'd have to say, well, this is what I believe he could have done.
Right.
And that doesn't
That's
make
the award
any
is.
Sense in any way, shape, or form. Okay, so NBA is close to getting back. Coming up next, we'll talk to someone who keeps winning for a sport that is back. And is baseball ever going to get back? We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo.